So we'll just do this verse 71 if we have time. Vihaya kamanya sarvan. Pumam charati nisprehaha. Nirmamo nirahankaraha. Sashantimadhigachati. So, sa shantim adhigachati. Saha means that individual. It could be man or woman. Shantim, peace. Adhigachati, reaches, obtains peace. Who obtains peace? He says there are four things that this person, Puman is this individual, Puman. Vihaya kaman ya sarvan. Vihaya means giving up kaman, all desires. That's number one. Number two, nispruhaha. Nispruha means without longing. Third is nirmama, without I and my, without my. Nirmama means not mine, and nirahankara is I. So without I or mine, one who gives up desires and longing, all, and charati, and roams in the world, such a person, shanti adhigachati. So if you want peace, say everybody wants peace, right? Who anybody says they want agitation? No. Nobody wants agitation. Nobody wants disturbance. Nobody wants sorrows. Nobody wants problems. Everybody wants peace. So if you want peace, do these four things. Reduce desires, reduce longing, reduce I and my. So Gurudev in his commentary says that this particular verse gives us the essence of sannyasa. What sannyasa means? Tyaga. So sannyas does not only mean putting on orange clothes and, you know, going in the forest and meditating. Sam means well, nyasa means throne, very well, throne. That is some thrown away, thrown, given up. So what is sannyas? Gurudev in his commentary says the ability to walk through the world, deal with objects and not let them bind you. That is called sannyas. And this sannyas, which in the second chapter Bhagavan has only briefly hinted, will be talked in more detail in the fifth chapter and in other chapters. So here it is just a brief hint that this person is able to walk through the world without I, my, without desires, without longing. So it says, like if you go to a seminar, you know, your company sent you to a seminar. They say, you know, we spent $5,000 on you and you went for a whole week to the seminar, and you come back and your boss asks you or your spouse asks you, you know, you went to this seminar for a whole week. What did you learn? Now, they're not looking for a half an hour lecture, right? What I learned. If you start talking, they'll get bored. They want in two or three sentences, what did I learn in the seminar? So similarly, in the world, in this Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Krishna started this about the man of wisdom is Prajahati Yada Kaman Sarvan Parth Manogatan. And here he ends his lecture with Vihaya Kaman Sarvan. So just as a good speaker in a seminar, when he's speaking, first he will say, today in this 1 hour talk, I'm going to tell you this. Then he will speak for an hour, and then at the end he will summarize. Similarly, at the beginning of the seminar, the 1 week seminar, they'll say, these are our goals in this 1 week. This is what we will teach you. And then from Monday to Friday, and at the end of Friday evening, they'll say, these were our goals and these were fulfilled. So similarly, Bhagwan, like a good speaker, he has spoken about desires, and then he's ending with how to satisfy desires. And they say, don't expect some kind of genie or some kind of magic. As we said, you will have to strive. I have to work myself, put the effort, and then alone success. So we think that somebody will come and do magic for me, either guru will do the magic or somebody will. I have to put the effort. And these two lines, first one talks about the mind, second one talks about the intellect. So kaman and nispriha. So desires and longing are in the mind, and nirmama, nirahankar is in the intellect. So this verse addresses our mind, how we should reduce desires and longing and reduce I and mind. And then alone, we will get shanti, shanti, peace. So shanti can only come when I reduce my agitations, when I reduce my desires, when I connect with the Lord within. That's why we say, ah, work is finished. I have shanti. You know, I have shanti. I'm all done. But if I have not done, if I have so much to do, so that's why, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the mother will say, now just let me relax, put my feet up. I've been working all day and let me just, you know, watch my favorite soap, you know, or something like that. Or let me just sit and relax. Or, you know, same thing, you know, a man comes from work all day. I have worked so hard. I just want to put my feet up and watch the evening news. So shanti comes when your work is finished and you are finally relaxed. So shanti is mental. It's not physical. It's not a physical rest. It is when the mind is at rest. You may be physically lying down, sitting with your feet up, but your mind is still worried about work and worried about stress and problems. You won't get. So shanti is mental. It's not physical. Physical rest, of course, we need, but more important is mental rest. So as we said, we need to reduce four things. Kamana, that is desires. Like my neighbor has it and I don't have it. Or I have it but he has better one. Or I have it and he doesn't have it and he's still so happy because this thing is giving me problem. So that is kamana. Spruha is longing. I want more and more and more and more. So that is longing. Mamata is mind and ahamta is I. So mamata, I read a very beautiful description about ownership, that mind. It says, like, suppose you are a tenant and there is a landlord. And so you are living in his rented house, or, you know, and he's, and then what do you do when you move in? You trash the house and you fill it with smoke. And you put water on the carpet and you make holes in the wall and you make the house very filthy and dirty. Now, how long is the landlord going to tolerate? Not long, right? He'll evict you. He'll send you a notice. Okay, get out of the house. So similarly, we are tenants on this earth and the owner is Bhagwan. He is the owner of this earth. And even though I say, oh, this is my house, I own the house, this is my land, this is my factory, it's nothing. You are temporarily living in that house. Sooner or later, as I said, when your number is called, you have to leave that house or that property or that factory. And this earth, we are living temporarily. So we are tenants on this earth. We are not owners, but we are just totally destroying the earth. We are polluting the air. We are polluting the waters. We are creating so much nuclear waste that for millions of years, it will be in the earth. It will be there. And what kind of earth are we leaving for our children? We are just, you know, making a mess of this planet. But when we leave, our children will say, what did our fathers and forefathers do? And the Lord is so compassionate. He doesn't evict us. You know, we keep on making a mess, keep on ruining our life, keep on ruining the earth. So they say, live on this earth as a tenant and take good care of this. Take good care of yourself. Take good care of this planet. Do whatever you can to make this world a better place. Reduce your carbon footprint. You know, they talk about that. Reduce your consumption of unnecessary, you know, driving, unnecessary using hot water. So try to make this earth clean. And so I am here on as a tenant on this earth. I'm not an owner. And let me leave the earth better than what I got it so that my children may enjoy that. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they all have only this earth to live. Mars may a few hundred people will be able to go. You cannot have millions settling on Mars or Moon or anywhere. So that's what they say. And do not have any ownership of anything. My body doesn't belong to me, has been given by the God, my mind, my intelligence, my objects that I own, whatever I possess, my knowledge. Everything is a gift from God, or from the knowledge is from the Guru. So people start getting ego about that. you know, some people have ego about the ahamta, this I. Some people have ego about their possession. You know, I have a lot of money, I have a lot of power. Other become ego about knowledge. You know, I know so much. You know, I go to Gita class, you don't go. Or I have read the Bhagavad Gita, you haven't. Or in my case, you know, I'm delivering lectures and you guys are all listening. See how great I am. So ego can come from anything. It's very, very subtle. And the more you do, the ego increases. I am doing more puja. You know, I go to the temple 5 days a week. I do puja for 1 hour. What do? You do nothing. And so that unfortunately can become a state of ego. My knowledge or my spiritual practice or my karma yoga. You know, I do so much service. I build so many houses. I do so much in charity. And we go around, you know, putting our name here and there. So ego is very subtle. You don't know when it will arise. You have to be very, very careful that ego can be of knowledge, ego can be of spirituality, ego can be of service. So karma, bhakti, jnana, this, all of these knowledge can all create ego. How do you dissolve ego? By right knowledge. By right knowledge that ultimately everything is that reality, everything is that Brahman. God, and I am also that reality, that Brahman. So these possessions are just my equipment. And ultimate, either you can do it through gratitude, like through gratitude to God, or through understanding that na kinchit karomi iti, I do nothing. Shrunvan jigran, I do nothing because I am the Atma, the consciousness. This body is working, this mind is feeling emotions, intellect is thinking, but I am that immortal self. So either you can detach from all, or you can do it with the attitude of a bhakta, a devotee. God, you are doing everything. I am nothing. By myself, I can do nothing. It is you, because of your ability, I am able to walk, talk. So the right knowledge, that is the only way to dissolve the ego, with right understanding, with reading, with and applying this knowledge in the life. So that's what they are saying, that all desire should be given up, longing should be given up, and I and mine, that should be given up. Ultimately, they say from selfish, you develop unselfish actions. First, I was only doing actions for me, myself, my family. First of all, it's only me. Then slowly I extend, okay, I do things for my family, for my wife, my husband, my children, and then slowly you extend that to the community and all. And that is karma yoga, and that is what we will be studying in the third chapter. So slowly extend your your width of service from my family to my community to my church to my city to my country, and ultimately I am a citizen of the world. So that knowledge, and ultimately nothing is real. Everything is just a play on that consciousness, Brahman, that consciousness, which is all pervading, supports everything. And this whole world is just a play where I am here to play a part. So with the right knowledge, only your ego can go away. Otherwise, ego can arise. It's very subtle. So one has to be very, very careful. Do things, but without I and mind. As the Lord is doing through me, I am nobody. So this is this verse. It is a kind of summary of the entire desire, you know, karma, and the entire man of wisdom, how this person walks, how he talks. You know, Arjuna had asked, sthita pragnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshave. Keshava sthita di kim prabhashe kim asit vrajet kim. So how does he walk around? Pumans charati nisprahaha. So Bhagavan answers how this person walks around, and that is the only way to get peace. So we have 1 or 2 minutes if we have any question, or otherwise we can end. Yes.
What is the difference between ego and self-respect?
Self-esteem, yeah.
Or are they the same?
No, it's quite different. Ego.
Not self-esteem, but self-respect.
Self-respect, self-esteem is the same. I think one has to respect oneself because I am God. I am not God in the sense of I am the creator, but I am Brahman. Brahman is working through me. So I am that entity. That is called self-esteem or self-respect. Ego is I am that limited being, and then I compete, and then I am, you know, no good, and I cannot do good enough. If Swami Chinmayananda could realize, why can't I? You know, so that is self-respect or self-esteem. Ego is when I think I am this limited being who is worthless, who is suffering, who is miserable, who is unhappy, who is competing. So the moment that comes, that is ego. But when I am confident about my abilities and I'm doing a good job, not with the idea of competing or fighting, but with the idea of doing my best. And when I do that, that is self-esteem. So I am that divinity and work with that attitude. And I think the more you do unselfish activities, the more you develop self-esteem. The more you do selfish, the more ego it comes. I'm fighting, I'm competing, I'm jealous, you know, all those. I think one has to be confident and comfortable in, you know, if you don't love yourself, who will? See, I have to love myself, but not to the point of where I only do things for myself. But I have to be, see, that's our problem. We don't love ourselves. We think I am no good, I am worthless and all that. So start by loving yourself and loving not selfishly, but as a divine creature, as the divinity.
You know, but there are some subtle instances in life, right? You know, when you're interacting with other person and the other person is, say, condescending in their tone, you know.
I think it depends on your mental attitude. If you feel lowered by this person condescending, I am worthless, then that is ego. If you say, I am comfortable, I am, let him do what he wants. If he is condescending, that's his problem. I am not. I am okay. Then that's where your self-esteem comes. But if you let this person bring you down in your own estimation, then you have succumbed to that ego. Sorry, we don't have time. We can continue either next week. I'll do the last verse, try to summarize the second chapter and start the third chapter. See, Bhagwan in the last verse of every chapter gives a masterful summary and very hopeful. The last verse of every chapter is full of hope. So next week we'll talk about what is this Brahmanhood. You know, we say I am Brahman. So what is this Brahman? We'll try to talk about that. And we have Swami Chidatmananda ji coming in May. So please go to the hall where the announcements will be made. And then there are other activities, May 10th, May 17th. May 10th is Mother's Day. And then May 17th is graduation. So all the announcements will be there. So thank you very much. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.